Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig, September 24th, 2017, Roll of Simcha on Yontov and on Sukkos.
And to come to this community before some of the Yom Tovim, Yom Noraim in some cases, so it's really a pleasure. Rambam we have, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So let's start with the Rambam. So the topic, as was advertised, the role of Simcha and Yom Tov and Sukkos. So let's start with the. We'll start a little backwards, which is like a classical thing to do, try to put things in a little bit of context. So the Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Lulav. Has a very famous, maybe the most famous discussion about Simcha on Sukkos and on Simcha and the performance of mitzvos generally. Very beautiful formulations here. I just want to start with that. The Rambam says that Afal pi shekol ha-moados mitzvah l'smach bahen, even though it's true that typically any moed has a requirement of Simcha. There's a mitzvah to be mesameach, to be in a state of joy and gladness during the moed. The Chag HaSukkos, Hois HaShem B'mikdash, Simcha Yisera. In the holiday of Sukkos, there's an added dimension of Simcha in the Mikdash. Shenamar U'smachtem B'fnei HaShem Elokeichem Shivas Yamin. Because the Torah says that you should be in a state of joy or happiness. L'fnei HaShem Elokeichem Shivas Yamin. We'll get to that pasuk in just a minute. Really, the pasuk is referring to the taking of the lulav and the esrog. We'll get to that in a second. The Rambam really quotes it a little bit, I wouldn't say out of context, but he quotes it in an interesting way here as part of a broader theme, which is interesting. The Ketzad Hayu Osin, Erev Yom Tov Harishonu Mitakni B'Mikdash, Makom L'Noshim B'Lamala, U'L'Noshim L'Mata. So instead of, again, emphasizing where the pasuk really comes from, which is the requirement of the Dalet Minim. The Rambam instead develops the idea that this Simcha Yisera in the Mikdash on Chag HaSukkos was expressed in what we call Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the celebrations of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And then he describes how they used to build a platform, Milmala, Lanoshim Milmata, for the women on top and for the men below. So to keep them separate, the value of tznius in the context of simcha, and after the first night of yontif, after yontif was over, from then on every night they would have this celebration, which we call simchas beis hashoeva. V'chein b'chol yom v'yom yimei chol ha-shamoed matchilin ma'akar she'akrivu tamid shobein arbayim. After the tamid shobein arbayim, they would begin to celebrate l'smach shar hayom and kol ha-layla. It was quite a, as the Gemara, Mishnah and the Gemara describe it in Masachet Sukkah, it was quite a celebration. V'hei chayis ha-simchazu ha-chalil ma'keh u'menagnin b'kinor v'nevalim meltzaltayim. The kolach v'yachod b'klishir shu yodeh l'nagin bo. There was musical instruments, not a cacophony, but hopefully a symphony, right? Umish yodeh b'peh b'pen. Those who didn't have the, dexterity or the training for musical instruments, they would sing. B'roktin u'mesapkin u'metapkin u'mefazin u'mekarkarin kolach v'yachod k'moshe yodeh v'omrim divrei shir v'tushbachos. And everybody would get in a state of frenzy, of joy, and they would be dancing, and this would be accompanied by divrei shir v'sishbachos. The simcha zu eina docha lo ha-shabbos v'lo ha-yom tov. You have to be very careful. This is not a simcha which justifies chil shabbos or chil yom tov, which is why they started it on motzai yom tov. And then the Rambam continues, mitzvah zu laharbos, mitzvah laharbos rather, b'simcha zu, one should not be stingy when it comes to this mitzvah of simcha. One should embrace the opportunity and be marbe b'simcha. V'lo ye'osino sar ame ha'aretz, and it wasn't something that was led by the by ame ha'aretz, by common folk. V'chol mishi yertze le'gedolei chachmi yisrael. We don't usually associate with you know, the musical instruments and the jumping up and down and the state of frenzy of Simcha. But they were the ones, Rashi Yeshivos, Vasanhedrin, Vachasidim, Vazkenim, Anche Maisa, Heim Shehu Meraktin, Umisapkin, Umenagnin, Umisamchim, Bemikdash, Bemechagasukos. They were the ones who led this celebration. Avakol Ha'am, Hanashim, Vahanashim, Kulan Boin, Liros, Velishmo. Actually, the common folk were observers, they were spectators, right? The main participants were actually those who were, I guess you would say, more of the elite, at least in terms of their religious knowledge and sensitivity, and so on. And then the Rambam concludes, "Hasimcha yishayismach adam batzias hamitzvah uba'avas hakel shitzivah bahen." This idea of simchas mitzvah, avoda gedolahi. And again, this is, you have to remember that this is the Rambam speaking, like the Rosh Yeshivas and Talmidei Chachamim. We don't usually associate this impassioned, you know, kind of description of simcha as it expresses itself in very concrete and physical way. We don't usually associate that with the very cerebral and rational Rambam. But as the Magen Mishnah points out here and elsewhere, that the Rambam's formulation here is really very beautiful, and it's an expansion. It comes, of course, from the Gemara and from the Medrash, from different places. The Rambam put it together, and it's more than the sum of its parts. And as the Magen Mishnah often says, "Roi hu lemisha amro." These special formulations, you know, could only have been written. I'm changing a little bit. If they're worthy of the Rambam, I would say they only could have been written by the Rambam. They attain increased significance when we consider who the Rambam was. That's my additional point. Avoda gedolahi, v'chala monea atzmo misimchazu, royli farah mimenu, and there are consequences for someone who, you know, is too, I guess, feels himself, you know, to be above this kind of expression of simcha. Shenemar tachas asher lo avadatas Hashem elokecha b'simcha b'tov levav, v'chala megiz daita v'chala kavod li'atzmo miskabed be'inav b'mekom oseilu. Whoever, you know, is too, feels himself, you know, to be too sophisticated, I guess, too jaded, right, to involve himself in this kind of simcha. Chote v'shote, right, harsh words. He's a sinner and a fool. Azeh hizir shloma v'amar alti tadar l'fnei ha-melech, v'kola mashpil atzmo mekel gufo b'mekom oseilu, hu ha-gadol ha-mechubad ha-oved me'ava. Somebody who's able to get into the spirit of this simcha is somebody in the category of an oved me'ava. He's truly a gadol and a mechubad. The chain David Melech Yisrael Amar ben Akalosi od mizos v'hayitzi shafel beinai. The whole story with David HaMelech and the criticism of his wife Michal. She basically said to him, "Is this any way for a king to act when he was involved in, you know, marching the, you know, the Sefer Torah?" And basically, his response to her was that, you know, if I'm the kind of king that Klal Yisrael deserves, then, you know, I should, you know, be able to get into this spirit of this thing even more. Veina gedula v'hakavod el esmoch lifnei Hashem shenemar haMelech David mefazez u'mekarker lifnei Hashem. And that's how the Rambam ends Hilchos Lulav Parakas. So this is a very beautiful statement about Chag HaSukkos, about avoda b'simcha in general. And what's very striking about it is several things. Number one, where the Rambam puts this. Number two, the pasuk that he quotes, "Ismachna v'tei Hashem l'kechem shivas yamim," which really is a pasuk, as we'll see in a moment, that appears in Parshas Emor, in the second rendition of the holiday of Sukkos, and really is connected to the Dalet Minim. And the transition from there to explain what we call Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which normally is associated with the Nisuch Hamayim, and one would have expected that, based on the Gemara, certainly the Bavli, which says that it's based on Shafta Mayim Bisason Mimaineh HaYeshua, that this be dealt with not here in Hilchos Lulav, but in Hilchos Tmidin U'Musafin, when we deal with Nisuch Hamayim. The pasuk should have been a different pasuk. The placing of the treatment should have been in a different venue. Instead, we have this pasuk about lulav, then a transition into Simchas Beis HaShoeva here, based on that pasuk, and then this broader analysis of the role of Simchas Mitzvah, more broadly speaking. And the question, of course, is why. The Rav was very into this particular Rambam, and in the Igros HaGrid, and then he wrote a piece years later, one of the few published pieces in the that appeared at the time, and then was republished in the Kovetz Chidushei Torah. Part of it is already in the Chidushei Agram VaHagrid. It's all over the place, pretty much mostly the same Divrei Torah, in which he deals with this question and is very troubled, as are other Mefarshim, by the fact, again, that the Rambam quotes this Pasuk, that he describes Simchas Beis HaShoeva here and not in Tmida Numusafim, and doesn't quote Ushaftamayim B'Sason, and so on, and tries to explain what this is all about. The synopsis, I guess, would be, is that he suggests that there are really three different elements of Simcha. Okay, one is the regular din of Simchas Yom Tov that applies in all Yomim Tovim. Every Yom Tov has a Simcha, it's a Moed. In every Yom Tov, for example, when there's a clash between Avelus and Simchas Yom Tov, right, Avelus is neutralized, there's Bitul Avelus, there's Tarta Desasri between being in a state of Avel and in a state of Simcha. That's true for all of the Yomim Tovim, Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, discussion of the Mishnah and Moed Katan, but in terms of how we paskin, certainly Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaSukkos. So there's a general din of Simchas Yom Tov, and that's what the Rambam speaks about also in Perek Vav of Simchas Yom Tov, when he talks about general theme of Simchas Yom Tov, and there he actually contrasts what he calls Simchas Kreso and Simchas Mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. In other words, the Rambam there says that if you don't share with the Aniyim and the Umlalim, if your Simcha is directed only on yourself, and you don't empathize, commiserate, and care for others on Yom Tov, so then it's a corrupted Simcha. It's a self-absorbed and too much of a hedonistic or physical Simcha. In order for something to be a Simchas Mitzvah, right, these other priorities, have to be part of the calculus. That's one halacha, that applies, that's what the Rambam develops in Hilchos Yom Tov. And for that we have Shalmei Simcha, and Korban Chagiga. There are all sorts of expressions of that in Basar, and Yayin, and so on. And that's one din of Yom Tov. And that's a din of Yom Tov, which is generic, and applies in all the Yom Tov. Whenever there's a Mikra Kodesh, or Lifnei Hashem, there's a din of Simchas Yom Tov. Then, there's a second din, and that is what the Rambam develops here, and that is the idea, Av al-pi shekol ha-mo'ados mitzvah l'smoch behem b'chag ha-sukkos hayis ha-shom b'mikdash simcha yaseira. That's a special din of Simchas Yom Tov of Sukkah in the Mikdash. Special category. And that's why the Rambam quotes it here in Hilchos Lulav. And that's why he quotes the pasuk of Usmachtem b'fnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim instead of Ushafta Mayim B'Sason. Then really, if you look at the Yerushalmi in Masachet Sukkah, there seems to be a debate whether or not Simchas Beis HaShoeva is connected to the pasuk of Usmachtem b'fnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim, or whether or not it is connected specifically to Ushafta Mayim B'Sason, which is what the Bavli says in Sukkah. So maybe the Rambam passed like that other day in the Yerushalmi, that it's connected to Usmachtem. And that's a special din of Simchas Chag HaSukkos, right, the Yom Tov of Sukkos, in the Mikdash. And it expresses itself in this way, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Mitzvah L'Harbor, Simcha Zu, etc. And then there's a third din, and that is the din of Nisuch Hamayim, which is also accompanied by Chatotzros, and he has a long piece to discuss Shira B'Peh and Chatotzros and the Levium, and that's something totally different. Of course, it takes place on the holiday of Sukkot, but that is a kiyum of not Simchas Yom Tov generically, and not a special din of Simcha and Chag HaSukkos B'Mikdash. That's a din in the particular opportunity, right, to be involved in this unusual Korban of Nisuch Hamayim, in the context of celebrating Nisuch Hamayim, right, that triggers Chatzotzros and Shira and Shtiyas Yayin and all sorts of other things. But that's something that is developed in Hilchos Tmidim Musafim because it really has nothing to do with Chag HaSukkos per se. It takes place on Chag HaSukkos, probably isn't a coincidence, but it's a totally different expression. However, It seems to me, on the third point, I think that is very, very compelling and convincing. What I'd like to suggest is a revision of the relationship between the first and the second point. According to the Rambam, it's certainly clear that there's an added element of simcha on Chag HaSukkos, and that is connected with the celebration in the Mikdash. But I think the evidence really shows that it's not simply an added kiyum of simchas yom tov b'mikdash, but rather, what I want to suggest, is that Chag HaSukkos is really the uber moed of simcha. In other words, it's the strongest expression of the generic simchas yom tov that is specialized on Chag HaSukkos. In other words, it's not an added din of simcha b'mikdash on Sukkos. The simcha b'mikdash on Sukkos represents the sea, sin yud aleph, the height or the apex, let's say, of simchas yom tov itself. And that, I think, is the real reason why it's the culmination of Hilchos Lulav, which concludes, of course, the section in the Rambam that begins with Shofar, and then follows with Sukkah and Lulav. I think the evidence is clear that this isn't a separate kiyum, but represents the height of Simchas Yom Tov itself. Firstly, it's interesting to note that when the Rambam does quote the din of Simchas Yom Tov in Perek Vav of Hilchos Yom Tov, he quotes the same pasuk as the Rambam quotes here in the din of Mitzvah Laharbos b'Simcha. Tachas Asher Avartos Hashem Elokecha. Right, everything that the Rambam is quoting here, that same pasuk is quoted there. There it's quoted in order to refine what we consider to be Simchas Yom Tov. Again, Simchas Yom Tov that expresses itself in generosity and empathy, a true understanding of the spiritual nature of that, right, as opposed to Simchas Kreso, a more hedonistic and selfish and physical kind of Simcha. That same pasuk is used here by the Rambam, right, to expand the simcha that he speaks about right here in this context, the simcha, the tov lev of Sukkos. But more than that, I think the proof positive of this, and then we'll get back to the implications of it and why it should be so, is that the Rambam himself in Sefer HaMitzvos seems to say this explicitly. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos Mitzvasei Nun Dalid talks about the mitzvah of l'smach beregalim. And this has nothing to do specifically with any moed. It's the generic mitzvah of simchas haregel. And the Rambam says, ha-mitzvah hanundalet, hishet sivanu l'smach beregalim, v'hu amari yisale, v'samachta b'chagecha. Right? Of course, that pasuk happens to appear, as we'll see, with regard to Sukkos. V'hi ha-mitzvah ha-shlishis, min hashalos mitzvos hanogos beregel ha'inyan rishon haramuz aleha b'tzivui hu sheyakriv korban shlamim al kaponim ve'elu shlamim nosafim al shalmei chagiga hem hanekroim b'talmud shalmei simcha u'me'akravas shlamim elu amru nashim chayavos b'simcha farba kasu v'zavachta shlamim v'yachalta sham v'samachta lefnei Hashem Elokecha u'kvar zbaru mishpatei mitzvah zu gam kein b'chagiga the kolel ba'amaro v'samachta b'chagecha mash'omru gamkein sameach b'kol minei simcha. So first it refers to shalmei, connects to shalmei simcha. Then it connects to the expansion of how you express simcha on Yom Tov. U'mizeh lechol basar b'yamim tovim v'lishtos yayin nilvosh begadim chadashim, to wear new clothes, to eat, to drink wine, to eat meat. L'chalek peiros u'minim etika l'ktanim alonashim, right, to have all sorts of delicacies and sweets. Miliskok b'klei nigun ulerake b'mikdash levad v'hi simchas beis hashoeva. These are the key lines for what I'm trying to suggest. The Rambam integrates simchas beis hashoeva in the mikdash levad in the mitzvah of generic simchas yom tov. Again, v'lischok b'kli nigun v'lirkod b'mikdash levad, even as he mentions that it applies only in the mikdash, which might imply that it's a special kiyum of Simcha B'Mikdash, one would have thought, the way the Rav says it certainly, that it's a mitzvah of Kiyum Simcha B'Mikdash Shel Sukkos specifically, but the Rambam has it in the general mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, even as he's accentuating that truth. V'hi Simchas Beis HaShoeva, V'zeh Kulo Nichnas Tachas Amaro V'Samachta B'Chagecha. The Rambam says very clearly, this all comes under the rubric of Samachta B'Chagecha. Umashi Yitzchayim Hem Yoser Shtias Yayin Levad Ki Yosef Yuchad B'Simcha V'Lashon HaTorah Shenichla B'Simcha Zuha Chaloshim V'Haniyim V'Agerim. Here's where the Rambam ties Simcha Beis HaShoeva, right, Shalmei Simcha, and then what he says in Perek Vav Hilchos, in other words, the things that he speaks about in the end of Hilchos Sukkah, Hilchos Lulav, with what he writes in Perek Vav Hilchos Yom Tov, where he says, "V'lashon haTorah shenichlo b'simchazu hachalashim v'ha'aniyim, those who are the misfortunate people who are disadvantaged, v'agerim, amar yisala, halevi, agera, yasov, v'halmana, etc." So in light of this Rambam, it seems that we should just, again, not major revision, but a small revision in this understanding. And that is that the Rambam is telling us in the end of Hilchos Lulav, is that indeed there's something that takes place in the Mikdash, only in the Mikdash, only in that venue, only at this time, only on Sukkot, and that is Simchas Beis HaShoeva, but instead of it reflecting a separate kiyum of Chag HaSukkos B'Mikdash, right, it ends up being under the rubric of, and a most intense expression of Simchas Yom Tov. It's the outer limit of Simchas Yom Tov itself. And if that's true, then there are many other things that we can appreciate about Chag HaSukkos, but we need to put it in context. So firstly, before we do that, let me take a step back. If you look in the, excuse me, in the Parshios of the Torah, yeah.
So, which direction are you suggesting the Chiddush is? Is it that it's obvious that Sukkot is the day of Simchi Yisera because of its presentation to Chumash, and there's an expansion to Yom Tov, or are you saying that there's a general position of Yom Tov and Sukkot is more intense in it? Which direction?
I'm saying the second. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that, although it doesn't end up being such a big difference, it's a very subtle question you're asking, and I appreciate it. Though what I'm saying is that what's unique about Sukkot is the fact that it is the most extreme expression. The full potential of Simchas Yom Tov is expressed in Sukkot.
Because the former seems to be more consistent with the presentation of the Chumash.
So that I think that's open. It doesn't matter so much in terms of what I'm saying, but let's see if that is true. It depends how you understand that second parsha, essentially. But we'll get to it in just a second. Yeah.
Does the fact that Sukkot is the last of the Shal of Shugalim, is that one of the reasons why it would have this?
I think so. I think that's a very good point. I'll say two things. I want to say two things. Number one, the fact that it is the last, and that, of course, makes it, you know, more than the sum of its parts. In a way, it is the culmination for certain dinim. So, 100%. That's one point I was going to make. The second point is specifically its connection, not to another regal, but to Yom Kippur. Okay, so I think that in light of both the way that Torah Shabbat Sav presents it, and especially the way the Rambam follows up on that, what I call the parallel opposite to Yom Kippur, and the Siyum of the Regalim, is what makes it the apex, let's say, of Simchas Yom Tov itself. So let me just present that very quickly. We don't have so much time. Getting back to, of course, the main parsha, the Parshas Emor. What we notice in the presentation of the Torah, and some of these things work in either way of the way that you ask the question, because either way, we're saying something different. The point isn't to say something different, but the point is we're saying something that we think, or at least that I think, is more precise about Simchas Yom Tov. The nuanced difference that you're raising, which I think is very important, is already a secondary point. I think that some of the evidence goes in either direction, and more of it goes that this is the apex of Simchas Yom Tov. But let's do it this way. Firstly, the natural framework to deal with Chag HaSukkos, of course, is to deal with Chag HaMatzos, because they are Tesvav Tesvav. You know, there's 7 day Yom Tovim. They have a lot in common, both structurally and halachically, as we know. So it's always interesting to compare the presentation of each. So when it comes to Chag HaMatzos, we're told that U'b'chamisha so yom l'chodesh hazeh Chag HaMatzos l'Hashem Shivas yom l'matzos tochem. So the Torah does call it a Chag here, not always, but here calls it Chag l'Hashem Chag HaMatzos l'Hashem Shivas yom. What's clear is that it's not a 7 day Chag, and this is a topic in its own right, we're not going to do it, I'll just allude to it, but that already in the Torah Shebichsav, it's pretty clear, and this is certainly expressed in the Halacha, sometimes explicitly, sometimes in a more nuanced way, that while there are 7 days for Chag HaMatzos and there are 7 days for Chag HaSukkos, right, they're fundamentally different. In Chag HaMatzos, there's a 1 day Chag that lingers, I call it the lingering aftermath, for 7 days, whereas in Chag HaSukkos, you have a 7 day Chag. Again, if you look at the Netziv and in HaMikdavar, everywhere, in Emor and Pinchas and Re'eh and in Bo, he makes this point again and again and again, just based on the Psukim, it's pretty clear. And there are numerous, enough Gemina, Halel, we'll get back to the Halel in just a few minutes. Right? The Gemara says in Erchen, and this is our practice, that on Chag HaMatzos, only Halel that we're Gomer, you know, the full Halel is only the first day. Right, or the first 2 days in Chutz La'aretz. Whereas in Chag HaSukkos, as we know, every single day has a separate halal. The Gemara says in Erchin that that's because chalukin heim b'korbanoseihem. Right, the Rav used to explain what that means is that it is that reflects separate kedushas hayom. That there are 8 days or 7 days of kedushas hayom in Sukkos, 7 and 8 in Sukkos. There's only one real continuing Kedushas Hayom when it comes to Chag HaMatzos. The Netziv in his Perush Al HaTorah, you know, quotes the Gemara and says, "I don't see what has to do with that. It has to do with the fact that, you know, that the Yom Tov, you know, part of it is more." He obviously didn't think that was the same thing. What the Rav thought was the Pshat in Chalukim, the Korban Hoseim, the HaMikdavar. So the HaMikdavar says, but if you look at the Yerushalmi says in Sukkah that the reason there are 7 days of independent Yom Tov when it comes to Sukkot as opposed to Pesach is because in the Mikdash they used to take the Lulav all 7 days. So you see that, you know, Karbonos aside, right, there is a special status or stature of every single day of Sukkot as opposed to Chag HaMatzos is 1 day, right, with consequence. The Netziv goes so far as to suggest that in the discussion, how much chol, how much moed, about chol and moed, again, a very important topic, right, so malacha, other things, nosach tefillah, there are many, many issues, mikra kodesh, what is the real status of chol and moed? So the Netziv says, if it were up to me, I would be mechalik between the chol and moed of Sukkos and the chol and moed of Pesach, or Chag HaMatzos. The chol and moed of Chag HaMatzos is more chol than moed. The more, there's more moed than chol, in Sukkos, things like, he doesn't say specific, he doesn't paskin this way, but, you know, things like tefillin, and you know, of course, there are numerous expressions of this, you know, when you're maftir, you say maftir on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, and Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, you mention the Chag, and Chol HaMoed Pesach, you don't. Numerous examples of this. So the first thing we already note is that the intensity of Kedushas HaYom, one Kedushas HaYom, or the ability to create every day a separate, independent Kedushas HaYom, as reflected by the Parsha and Pinchas, Chalukim B'Korban Hoseihem, based on the Gemara Erchin, or connected with, and this is very important, we'll get back to this in a second, according to the Yerushalmi, connected to the idea of taking the lulav every single day in the Mikdash. What's important about that is, what does the Mikdash have to do with outside the Mikdash? But this is going to be part of our theme. Is already a very important distinction. Okay. Then, when it comes to Chag HaShavuos, there's no mention of Chag, the word Chag, here in Parshas Emor, at all. When it comes to Chag HaSukkos, the Torah tells us that Vayidabar Hashem Moshe Leimor, Dabar Bnei Yisrael Leimor, B'chamish HaSayom L'chodesh HaShvi HaZeh, Chag HaSukkos, Shivas Yomim LaShem, seventh part of the pasuk, what I just contrasted to Chagamav, not a day which lasts for seven, but seven independent days, and the Torah calls it a chag. And that's what you have in the first parsha. However, what you have here, and this is where your question comes into play, is something very extraordinary, as is known. And that is that when the Torah finishes presenting Chag HaSukkos, right, it has a second rendition. And here's where you get the multiple expressions of Chag. Instead of just saying Chag HaSukkos, like you had Chag HaMatzos, you have Tochogu Eschag Hashem Shivas Yamim, again, 7 days, real 7 days, by Yom Rishon Shabbason, by Yom Shmini Shabbason. So you have a double presentation of Chag. These expressions of Chag connected with Sukkos are mostly the Makoros for Inyanim of Korban Chagiga, of all the Moadim. Okay? Ulekachtem lechem b'yom arishon, here's the first time you have the Dalad Minim. Priyetz Adar Kapos Tmarim Anafei Tzavos V'arvei Nachal. Usmachtem, this is the first reference to Simcha, Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim. This is the pasuk that the Yerushalmi said, you know, is the makor for seven independent or eight days of Hallel on Chag HaSukkos. This is the makor that the Rambam quotes in what we began with, the Simcha Yisera in the Mikdash, which expresses itself in Simchas Beis HaShoeva, based on Yerushalmi. But the pasuk itself, of course, deals with taking the lulav and the esrog in the Mikdash for 7 days. What's fascinating is, if you look again, so you could have read this pasuk as referring, I mean, the pasuk itself is a little challenging because it's ulkachtem lachem b'yom arishon, only the first day. Priyetz Adar Kapos Tamarim Anafei Tzavos Arvei Nachal Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yamim. So which is it? 1 day or 7 days? So we know the answer, and that is that in the Gvulin, outside of the Mikdash, you take the Minim 1 day, and in the Mikdash you take it 7 days. But it's all one pasuk. Okay, it can be one pasuk, and it could still be two dinim. Where would you put the din of Netilas Lulav Shivas Yamim, right, as opposed to the din of Lekachtem Lechem B'Yom HaRishon, if you were the Rambam and you were codifying? So if you felt that it was a special din in the Mikdash, frankly, you don't have to put it there, but a very good place to put it would be to put it in something in Sefer Avodah, because Tmidim Masafim, something of that sort. Where does the Rambam mention it explicitly in Yad HaChazaka? Well, actually, he mentions it. Well, he mentions some of these things in Hilchos Tmidim. But where does he mention also? Number one, he quoted the pasuk to extend it to Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Beri Mechudash. But more importantly, this is something not everybody is aware of. The koteret of Hilchos Lulav, Rambam says, okay, Shofar v'lulav, so it's Lito lulav v'mikdash kol shiva simei achag. Very remarkable koteret. If you look in Sefer Mitzvot, they have the same pattern. In Sefer Mitzvot, so the Rambam mentions the mitzvah of the tilas lulav, right, he starts off with the obligation to take the lulav 7 days in the mikdash. This is Hilchos lulav. The one lulav mitzvah that he's mentioning is in the mikdash. There's a whole discussion in the Mefarshim, early in the Rishonim already, about the relationship between the Tilas Lulav, the Mikdash, and the Tilas Lulav, Big Bul. One could have said, and for some it's certainly true, that they have one pasuk, but it has two completely different dinim. One is the Tilas Lulav, the Big Bulin, L'kachtem L'chem B'yom HaRishon, and the other is the Mikdash. And maybe they're very different. There's a whole discussion, do you need L'chem all 7 days in the Mikdash? Right? That's on one side. Are the psulim, let's say, of the first day applicable to all 7 days in the Mikdash? The level of Hadar and so on. What about Mitzvah Baba Veira? Right, we say Mitzvah Baba Veira is a psul in Lulav. According to the Bavli has two cases of Mitzvah Baba Veira. One is Lulav and the other is Karba. What about Lulav in the other days in the Mikdash? The Rav Zatzal was mistapek, in the name of Reb Chaim, quoted Reb Chaim. Maybe there's no din of mitzvah baba beira in the Mikdash, or maybe it's a different kind of mitzvah b'aveira. On the surface, I'm just trying to highlight, this is a topic in its own right, what is the relationship between the 7 days of Tilas Lulav in the Mikdash and the one day Begmula? You could have said, and for some it's certainly true, that they are, I would say, completely disconnected, but they're two different dinim and two different mitzvahs. If you were writing a minyan of mitzvahs, maybe you should count them separately. Certainly, you would want to talk about the 7 days in the Mikdash, right, in Sefer Avoda. And yet, the koteret to Hilchos Lulav and Sefer Zmanim and Sefer Mitzvos is to emphasize the 7 days of the Mikdash. That's totally consistent with the Rambam's view that this is a pasuk that also connects to Simchas Beis HaShoeva, right, the Mikdash, but that is codified in the end of the Hilchos Lulav, as if the Rambam is basically telling us that what happens in the Mikdash on Sukkos is not a separate Kiyum Yom Tov, but it is the apex of Simchas Yom Tov in general. After all, Yom Tov is a day of Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, as the Rav used to always emphasize in the Psukim, and there's no greater Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem than the Mikdash. So instead of noting, based on the discrepancies between how Lulav is taken in the Mikdash and how it's taken Begvulin, instead of coming to the conclusion that there are two different mitzvahs, maybe related but two different kiyuvim, maybe maybe a more accurate way to look at the whole thing is that the differences are a result of the venue. There are things that you can accomplish in the Mikdash Lifnei Hashem which have meaning and significance. There's chalos, significance to them by virtue of that place and everything that goes along with it, that you can't try to capture. If you try to capture that, you know, big bullin, you know, it's just it loses its meaning and significance. But the Mikdash, you're able to express Simchas Yom Tov in this more intense way. That's why the Rambam in the Koteret and in Sefer Mitzvah said the real mitzvah of Lulav in its apex, which is connected to the Simchas Yom Tov, as I'm going to explain, that same pasuk in the end of Hilchos Lulav, when you put all of them together, is that the Mikdash, you have the height, the sea of Simchas Yom Tov. If that's the case, then it goes to the next one as well. Right? L'kachnum l'chem tzakim, v'chagosem osu chag l'Hashem, again, another double chag reference, right? First it was t'chogu es chag Hashem, now it's v'chagosem es chag Hashem, shivas yomim bashana, chugasol medorosechem b'chodesh ha'shvi, t'chogu osu, another five of them so far, right, in this added parsha, b'sukos teshu shivas yamim, kol azrach b'Yisrael yeshu b'sukos, l'manyenu dorasechem, ki b'sukos ha'shavtis b'yisov, b'otzi asam eretz mitzrayim, ani Hashem elokeichem, v'aydaber Moshe esmoa de Hashem es b'nei Yisrael. So, I think that your reference before about the psukim in the presentation revolved around this question. That is, the question is, how do we understand this second addition to Sukkos? It's hard to know, objectively. Right, why is Sukkos mentioned twice? And how do we understand the relationship between that first and second? Or what is the nature of that second presentation? Right, so one way to look at it is that there's something called Parshas HaMo'adim, which deals with the Chag, and whatever specialization there is there, but it's a specialization as an expression of or within the generic world of Mikra Kodesh of Yom Tov. And, you know, that ends the first time when the Torah finishes the cycle with Chag HaSukkos. Then the Torah is telling you there's something else, and that is something that is expressed with Sukkah, Yeshiva B'Sukkah, and the Tilas Lulav, the Mikdash Kol Shiva, V'lekachtem Lachem B'Yom HaRishon B'Gvulin, and that is not part of the regular din of Simchas Yom Tov or Yom Tov. It's a special din in Sukkos. And again, in the Rav in his writings, documented right now, sometimes used to say that. He discussed in different ways why it is that there seems to be no din of Yontov Sheni Shel Golios, let's say, when it comes to the Minim. So again, this is, you know, another piece that he was very into. It appears in a bunch of plays, the Yisra Grid and Kovetz Kiddushei Torah, and so on. So in the printed versions of it, connects it to the Mikdash and the Korban, and so on. The idea that, unlike other expressions of Yontov Sheni Shel Galios, here this is not in a vacuum. There already is a kind of a template, you know, for extending lulav. In his in some of his shiurim, not the ones that were printed, but the regular shiurim, he added an interesting idea, and that was the Dalet Minim, they don't appear in the first section in Parshas Amor. They only appear in the second section. So maybe, this is a very bold idea, maybe one could say that the first section is really about Kedushas Hayom and regular Yom Tov. And that, of course, is subject to the Takana of Yontov Sheni Shel Galios. This whole second section, you know, is Mikra Kodesh doesn't appear there. It's only called Shabbason. All the added information of the second section are special dinim in Sukkos, but they're not a din in, right, Yom Tov or Kedushas Yom Tov of Sukkah. If you take that view, so then the fact that, you know, this profusion of calling it Chag, Usmachte, all these psukim really should not be able to be used, you know, more generically for Dinei Yom Tov. So the second option is to say that what the Torah was trying to accomplish was not to completely remove Sukkah, not the Parsha ended, but here's a good place to stick in the other aspect or dimension of Sukkah. But what I would prefer to say is that what's really happening here is the Torah is very, very specifically formulating all of the Chagim in the most precise manner possible. So what the Torah is trying to do at the same time is, number one, compare and contrast in a very subtle way, in some cases, Chag HaMatzos and Chag HaSukkos, because they obviously are the most connected, Tesvav, Tesvav, structurally, Chol HaMoed, and so on and so forth. And at the same time, the Torah is also trying to present a parallel opposite contrast to Yom HaKippurim. If you look carefully at the Torah's presentation of Yom Kippur, we've spoken about this definitely in the past, and we've given Yom Kippur Shiurim here, and that is that the term Mikra Kodesh, which appears in the Parsha, right, always is connected to Isur Malacha, with one exception, and that is Yom Kippur. Right, with Yom Kippur, it's connected to V'nisem Esnaf Shoseich. And actually, Isur Malacha is connected with Ki Yom HaKippurim, with Yom Kippur. That's the Torah's, you know, ki'ilu way of emphasizing something along the lines that Yom Kippur's Kedusha, its status as a moed, is singular. It doesn't have like Tudinim or the generic moed, you know, and Yom Kippur. But the Yom Kippur, it is a moed because it's in the Parsha, but it's a unique moed. Without Yom Kippur, the rest of the moedim, we'll discuss this in a few minutes, wouldn't. It's a linchpin for the other moedim in the same way that Shabbos is a linchpin for the other moedim. And in that respect, it's a moed. But what's unique about Yom Kippur is that its Mikra Kodesh is connected to the specifics of how it is expressed. Every other Yom Tov, there's some aspect of Mikra Kodesh that is generic, plus other expressions, right? There's Mikra Kodesh, Isur Malacha, and Matzah. There's Mikra Kodesh, Isur Malacha, and Korban Shtei Lechem. There's Mikra Kodesh, and Isur Malacha, and the Sukkah. Say, talk about the first section. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, the Mikra Kodesh already establishes that Yom Kippur is unique. I believe that at least the Rambam holds this way. I'm pretty sure I've spoken here about this. Maybe quite a while ago. We'll look in the archives. The fact that the Rambam codifies the dinim of Yom Kippur in Hilchos Shvisas Asar and omits it completely from Hilchos Yom Tov, because he has Shabbos, Shvisas Asar, Yom Tov, and then you have the, you know, the break, Chag HaMatzos, you know, that's Chometz HaMatzah, then you have, you know, Shofar, Sukkah, Lulav, etc. The structure of the Rambam and the dinim of the Rambam, right, seem to establish that Yom Kippur is unique. And I think it comes from the Psukim. And how is Yom Kippur introduced? Ach. Right? Ach. Ba'asar. Ba'chodesh ha'shvi. Yom ha'kippurim. Mikra kodesh yelachem. V'nisim esnaf shoseichem. And so on. The ach is understood differently by different mefarshim. Chazal say, you know, with tshuva, without tshuva. But the Mefarshim al Atar, the classic ones, some of them say, oh, there's no Heter Ochel Nefesh, maybe there's Sfarno and Chizkut, maybe there's no Simcha. What does the Rambam say about Yom Kippur? That it has no Simcha Yisera. And that's the reason why Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there is no there's no challah. Okay. That's an interesting point. The same exact expression is used by the Rambam in the opposite way when it comes to Sukkos. Right? He says, Afal pi shekol ha-moados mitzvah lismoach bahen, b'chag ha-sukkos hois ha-shom b'mikdash, simcha yaseira. Right? If you remember that's the language that he uses in Hilchos Chanukah to explain why Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's no simcha, or not enough simcha for even challah, which is a basic requirement of a moed. It's very striking. Almost like the Rambam wants us to read one in light of the other. So I think that that is the way to understand this second parsha as well. The Torah is telling us there is, of course, Simchas Yom Tov on Sukkos. Right? It does have a generic element, unlike Yom Kippur. But you should know that it's unique, like Yom Kippur. It's unique in the opposite way. It's the most acute expression of Chag. Chag, Tachog, Chag, Simcha, Smachtem, etc. Which is why, I think, in the second parsha, the Rambam also begins with the word Ach. Right? Ach, b'chamish asa yom, l'chodesh ha-shvi. So again, the Hamigdabar and the Spar, a lot of them farshim note the Ach of Sukkos and connect it to the Ach of Yom. They say different things. They say, oh, well, you know, Kippur, there's no Heter Ochel Nefesh. You know, we want to get back to the idea that, you know, here there is. But I think it's more than that. I think what we're being told is that on Yom Kippur, the Torah presents one extreme, right? Where if there is Simcha, it's expressed in a very Yira kind of a way, right? It's not Simcha Yisera. And in Chag HaSukkos, that's where the Simcha and the Chag and the all these expressions become most acute. It's interesting. If you look in terms of Tamei HaMitzvos, Ki Yom HaKippurim Hu, Torah says in Parsha Samar, Ki Yom HaKippurim Hu, right? And Ki Ba Yom Hazeh Yechaper Aleichem L'Taher Eschem Mikol Chatoseichem L'fnei Hashem Titaru. The only of the Moed, of the Moedim, in that Parsha, right, that has kind of an explanation why we call it Yom Kippur, what it's about, and so on. The other one, of course, is Chag HaSukkos, right? Basukos teishu shivas yamim kol ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu basukos leman yedu doroseichem ki basukos hashavti b'nei Yisrael v'otzi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim ani Hashem Elokeichem. In the case of Yom Kippur, you have Mikra Kodesh, right, without Yisra Malacha. In the case of the second rendition of Sukkos, the word Mikra Kodesh doesn't appear. Again, that could be for the other reason. If you want to say this is a totally separate parsha, separate of Kedushas Hayom and generic Yom Tov, you may want to prove that by the fact that the Torah calls it Shabboson, right? Achba Kamisha Hashem, Achodesh Hashi, Ba'aschem, Estuas Aretz, Tachogu, Eschag Hashem, Shivat Yamim, Barom Arishon, Shabboson, Ba'yom Hashmini, Shabboson, and so on. Word Mikra Kodesh, which appeared in the first rendition, is absent. But I would suggest that, you know, maybe in light of the other things, of the use of these psukim by Chazal to teach us that general things about Simchas Yom Tov, that maybe what we're trying to say is, in addition to being a Mikra Kodesh, like all Mikra Kodesh is, right, you should know, just like Yom Kippur, there's something singular about Sukkos. But its singular nature isn't the second din. It's the more extreme, more emphatic, let's say, expression of Simchas Yom Tov itself. And therefore the second rendition highlights that. The same is true, meaning at least the different treatment of the psukim, in Pinchas. Here we go. Here, we don't have any reference to Chag when it comes to Chag HaMatzos. Bayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, Komalachas HaVodah Lo Sasu, B'chamishos yom l'chodesh hazeh. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Chag shivas yom matzos yachel. Here you do have it. You don't have it in Shavuos, sorry. And then when it comes to Sukkos, you have instead of just calling it Chag Lashem, which is what you have Chag Matzos, you once again have a more intense expression of Chagiga Sachag, V'chagosem Chag Lashem Shivas Yom. This is true, of course, even more so in Parshas Re'eh, where you have the Regalim. Second. Here in Perek Tesvav, Torah tells us. Shemor es Chodesh Aviv, Asisa Pesach Lashem. Ki bechodesh Aviv yotziach Hashem alokecha Mitzrayim. Loila zavachta Pesach Lashem. Most of the psukim are about Chag Matzos. Here, there's no mention of Chag at all. Atzeres Lashem alokecha. There's no mention of Chag, and there's no mention of Simcha. Then comes Chag HaShavuos, Shiva Shavuos Tispalach Me'achel Chemesh Bakama, Tachel Espar Shiva Shavuos, V'yosiso Chag Shavuos Hashem Elokecha. Right? You have one reference to Chag. And then you have Chag HaSukos Tasa L'chal Shivas Yamim, Ba'as B'chami Garon Chomikvecha, again the Shivas Yamim. And here we have the Samachta B'chagecha. You have one expression of Simcha when it comes to Shavuos, none when it comes to Pesach. When it comes to Sukkos, you have numerous repetitions of Chag and two references to Simcha. Chag HaSukos Tasa L'chal Shivas Yamim, Ba'as B'chami Garon Chomikvecha, the Samachta B'chagecha. Shivas Yamim Tachog Lashem Elokecha, right? That's the second. The Hayisa Ach Sameach. So then in the end, the summary calls you say Shalosh Pamim Bashanei Yireh Kol Zchukas Pnei Hashem Elokecha B'Makom Asher Yivkar B'Chag Matzos B'Chag Shavuos B'Chag Sukkos. But again, in the aggregate, if you count, it's not a quantitative thing. We learn things from these references to Chagiga, which is a reference to Chag, to Yom Tov, to Korban Chagiga, and so on. Both Simcha, Chagiga, all of these are intensely referred to when it comes to Chag HaSukkos, much less so Chag HaMatzos and Chag HaShavuos. Why? Perhaps because specifically of the role of extra korbanos, which we know from Parshas Pinchas, perhaps because of Usmachtem Fnei Hashem Elokechem Shivas Yamim in the Mikdash, instead of these being references to some other completely disconnected kiyum, these represent the height of Simchas Yom Tov, the expressions in the Mikdash. Indeed, going back to the point of Hallel, Hallel would seem to reflect this as well. Right? The Rambam was unhappy that the Bahag counted Hallel in the Minyan of Mitzvos. The Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos says, well, maybe Hallel on Yom Tov might be a din d'oraisa. Not so simple. Gemara in Pesachim speaks about, you know, Hallel and how important it is. Efshar b'zman sheyisrael mevi'in or makrivin piskehem, right? V'notlin lulavehem. So again, Pesachim daf kuf yud zayin. V'lo yomru Hallel. So it's interesting the two things that they picked. Now, the Hallel of Korban Pesach happens to be something that is unique. It may be a Hallel of the day of Yudalid Nisan, a Korban in its own, maybe a Yontif in its own right, again, another topic. But it's interesting that the Hallel of Korban Pesach isn't the Hallel that we say on Yom Tov, particularly. But the Hallel of Chag HaSukkos is specifically connected in the Gemara, right, with Lulav, which works beautifully for the Yerushalmi, that says that the reason that you say separate Hallel, full Hallel, every day of Sukkos, as opposed to the days of Pesach, where you only say it on Yom Tov, is precisely because of simcha of the of the bringing of the lulav all 7 days in the Mikdash. What does that have to do with us? We're not in the Mikdash anymore. If that was a separate din. But if we think that the bringing of the lulav 7 days of the Mikdash is relevant also to the one, you can only do it at Gvul in 1 day. But it's part of the mitzvah of 7 days in the Mikdash, because that's the height of the expression of Usmachtim Fnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yamim, which also being the source of Ushaf of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, according to the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos, is part of the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. It's just the most acute expression of Simchas Yom Tov. The Rav pointed out that if you look carefully in the Rambam in Hilchos Lulav, it seems like the Rambam thinks that the appropriate time to do Netilas Lulav is during Halal. And the question is, why is that so? And a lot of the Achronim speak about that. Is that a din in Halal? Is that a din in Netilas Lulav? Like, what the, is that exactly? They're obviously saying the name of Reb Chaim, that Reb Chaim was careful not to be mafsik once he made the bracha on Netilas Lulav until the end of Halal. In other words, bepashtos, you're making a bracha on the Lulav, and you're making another bracha on Halal. And never the twain shall meet. You make a bracha on Halal on Pesach as well. But if indeed the appropriate time for Lulav, for Netilas Lulav, is during the Halal, right? So maybe it's one Kiyum. But what does that mean that it's one Kiyum? So in light of Yerushalmi, that the reason that we say Halal every single day in Sukkot is because of Netilas Lulav, the Mikdash, in light of the idea that Smachtim Fnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yamim, the pasuk in the Torah about Lulav b'Mikdash is the source for extra Simcha Siyantov, the Simcha Yisera of Sukkos, right, this takes on a new meaning. Right, what we're really saying is that Lulav is Hallel, but not just a unique Hallel, but the height of Hallel. When the Gemara then, you know, we go back to the Gemara and the Gemara's idea that Hallel is a fundamental requirement, right, the two examples, namely Korban Pesach for its reason, and the Tilas Lulav for its reason, become particularly understood. It's interesting, the Gemara says, just one more second, and I'll take a question, that when they originally made the, you know, the Takana, not to pick up the Lulav Kol Sheva, if it fell on Shabbos, not to put the Lulav on Shabbos, so originally they excluded the first day. That's the first day, Katam Mechemba Yom Rishon was not included in the Takana. Today we do it even on the first day. So why not? So the Gemara says, because even in the Mikdash, the first day is singular because you take it even bigvulin. So the truth is, that's a very strange Gemara. And the Rambam codifies that, l'halacha, in Hilchos Lulav. Why, if you're in the Mikdash, do you care that bigvulin, right, there's l'kichas lulav on the first day? If you take the view that usmachtem fnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamim, and ulakachtem lachem b'yom harishon are two completely different mitzvahs, two completely different kiyumim. But if we take the view that what happens in the mikdash lifnei Hashem, in terms of the karbonos, in terms of the lulav, you know, in terms of simchas beis ha-shoeva, isn't just a separate manifestation of kedushas yom tov on sukkos, but is the height, right, represents the climax, the most acute expression of Simchas Yom Tov across the board, right? So then, it's different expressions, Bigvulin and the Mikdash, are, even though express itself differently, and there still may be Nafkamina, but there are adjustments in the Simcha Yisera of Kedushas Yom Tov. And therefore, even in the Mikdash, the first day was acknowledged to be a different day. It wasn't too coincidental. There's a whole discussion in the postgim, like what happens, you know, if if there are differences between, you know, lulav the first day and lulav in the 7 days in the mikdash. So what happens on the first day in the mikdash? You know, where let's say you fall short of the requirements of lulav, you know, bigvulin, but you have a lulav of the Mikdash. Do you have to take it twice? Meaning exactly this question. Are we dealing with two completely different mitzvahs, or are we dealing with an overlap? Well, there was a question before I try to wrap up. But yeah.
The Rambam's placement of Hallel and Chagigah showing that he's rejecting the Shirushalmi? That Hallel.
Why does that show that?
Because otherwise we would have attached the Luluf.
Otherwise what?
The Yerushalmi said that...
I don't really think that proves anything, one way or another. I mean, the Rambam just deals with Dinei Hallel in altogether, Nilchos.
Certain fits with this notion, it's not the Raisa.
That could very well be. I don't think it proves that, frankly, either, but I'm not really sure why it's... I mean, the Rambam passed up earlier venues, you know, to treat... the Dinim of Hallel. I happen to think that he did that because he thinks that Neros Chanukah is kind of an expression of Hallel. I think he wanted to make that particular point. But because, as I've said in the past, he also puts it in a funny place. In other words, he talks about the brachos that you make for Neros Chanukah, right? And then he speaks about Dinei Hallel, and then he goes back to Neros Chanukah. In the Koteret to Hilchos Chanukah, he just speaks about Chanukah. He doesn't say, oh, I'm about to formulate two mitzvahs, one is Chanukah, one is Hallel. She should have. One would have thought. So I think that that's the reason that he did that, you know, particularly. If he had put Dinei Hallel in Hilchos Lulav, I think it would have been another, even stronger proof. I think that's true. But I'm not bothered particularly by the fact that he put them all together. Yeah.
Just to kind of review, what evidence, if any, do we have that the Rambam felt that this apex level of Simchas Yontov that applies in Sukkos exists even outside of the Zimikdash, that exists today?
Well, I'm just saying that the... I'm just trying to show that these overlapping elements aren't separate, they're one. I think the fact that he put it where he did, that the psukim that he's quoting are used for general Simchas Yom Tov also, already points strongly in that direction. I think the Makabah Patish is that, in Sefer Mitzvos, in the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, he speaks about Simchas Beis HaShoeva B'Mikdash Bilvad. So you can't do that if you think that it's a completely independent keel. Right? Now, he brings the presentation of Hilchos Lulav Perek Ches into the Sefer HaMitzvos about generic Simchas Yom Tov. Right? I'm just saying, and now in light of that, I think we could also better appreciate certain other things, both in the Rambam and beyond, and maybe a way to understand how the psukim work.
I understand that there's some that are coming from Rambam, that the manifestation of the Mikdash is not a separate thing, but part of, it seems like par excellence, but I'm just asking, are we suggesting that that's an indication of the fact that even outside the base of Mikdash today, in Degulin, there's also, according to the Rambam...
Simchi Seira? I think so. Again, I think some of the expressions, you know, it's hard to know. That's hard to know. Again, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva part was B'Mikdash Belvad. But again, I think the fact that the Rambam as the Koteret to, you know, Lulav and Sefer Mitzvahs quotes that you take the Lulav B'Mikdash Kol Shiva, right, is, even though he doesn't deal with the B'Mikdash Kol Shiva halachos in Hilchos Lulav, is an indication that, you know, that fact is significant even to what we do, which is l'kachtem lachem b'yom arisha. I'm also suggesting that it spills over into things like Hallel and why b'shas lulav dafka, you know, I'm sorry, b'shas hallel dafka, we take the lulav, you know, issues like that. So one could have said, I think you're right, that even if this is all true, namely that the kiyum of simcha b'mikdash is not just a separate halacha, you know, but it is really the most impressive, let's say, expression of Simchas Yom Tov itself. You still might have said that, you know, there are no consequences outside of the Mikdash, and this is all just if you happen to have the opportunity to Mikdash. What I'm suggesting is that the fact that he puts it in Hilchos Lulav and that he introduces the Koteret that way, and the fact that in Sefer Mitzvos he introduces Beis HaShoeva in a mitzvah that is more generic, it would seem otherwise. Just like the mitzvah achilas, you know, basar v'yayin and shalmei simcha, I don't think we'd say that, you know, because there's no shalmei simcha bizmanenu, you know, so what it represents about, you know, Yom Tov, you know, is gone as well. I think you can't express it in the same way, but it's still part of understanding what the obligation and nature of it is. Yeah.
I can't help but the first word, the first place chag appears,
huh?
Is in the egg.
No, interesting.
But maybe that is actually the definition, because he comes down here, and what does he see? Mechalos. He sees the exact type. He sees Shlomim, he sees Olos, Shlomim, and Mechalos. And maybe that is the definition of Chag. Chag Lashem, Machal. And later on he says, Elohim Asachalot Asurcha.
Right.
It's Chag HaMatzot. That's the famous contrast between...
It's an interesting point. I like it. Very interesting. Because Chag isn't just celebrating, it doesn't just bring a Karma Chagiga. It goes with a larger... It's an interesting point. Yeah.
Could that linkage be why it was so critical post-Korban to make the Dakhana to expand a little bit Esrog and Bull for 7 days as well?
I think it does explain that a lot. Again, the Rav said this also, but he said it more... That's one of the three ways I remember. It's nice to say for Venetia, so he said it in a few different places. Was more like, more of a, initially, more in a technical way, like, oh, there is since the Zecha L'Chorban, so, you know, you don't need Yantav Sheni Shogalia, so they were never metaking it, which is interesting. Or, that second Parsha, anyways, isn't about Mikra Kodesh, and therefore, you know, you don't have this thing. What I was suggesting is, I agree with you, is that since the Rambam emphasizes the 7 days of Lulav in the Mikdash, in Sefer Mitzvos, and in the Koteret, and again, connected up to what he's saying in the end here, in Hilchos Lulav itself, so it isn't just Zecher LeMikdash. I'll say it a little better, or a little different. You know, we have many Zecher LeMikdash opportunities, we could say. It's like naming opportunities, you know. There are many Zecher LeMikdash opportunities, and some we take and some we don't. And some express themselves, you know, in a very acute way, and some do not. And again, it's hard to know, you know, what everybody, you know, we're you know, maminim b'nei maminim, and, you know, we're trying to reconstruct backwards to figure out, you know, what happened. But it occurs to me that when you have, if the thing that took place in the Mikdash, you know, was just really for the people in the Mikdash, you know, then there's going to be, it's going to be less compelling to create a very, very specific, you know, Zecher LeMikdash for it. And if you're going to, it'll be much more general. But if this happens to be one of the stronger Zecher LeMikdashes out there, I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, Shivas Yamin B'Mikdash is relevant to everybody. So I agree with you, is what I'm trying to say. It took me a few words to say it, though. 100%. I think it does affect the whole Zecher LeMikdash, and why, and the intensity of it, as opposed to other Zecher LeMikdashes as well. Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I meant by there being parallel opposites, meaning both of them defy the typical din of Yom Tov, Kedushas Yom Tov, and Simchas Yom Tov. Yom Kippur does it by, obviously, Ein Bahem Simcha Yisera, and the Yira, and the Fachad, and the Kulo Lashem. Maybe we'll just, you know, since it is late, so we will use this to wrap things up. Sukkot does it in exact parallel opposite way, right, in being, you know, a time of Simcha Yisera, where people are even mefazes and mekarker, you know, and the, you know, elite might consider that to be beneath them and not very spiritual, you know, certainly not very intellectual. I was emphasizing, you know, Shlomo HaMelech, David HaMelech, you know, never mind them, the Rambam, you know. like, what is this? But I think these are opposites. It's Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Yira. And I think that the reason that Chag HaSukkos has this expression, one of the reasons, is number one, it's the culmination of the Regalim and the whole cycle, exactly as you said earlier. And therefore, it has the benefit of the full perspective of the different motifs of each one, whether it's Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaShavuos, etc. But in addition to that, I think both things are not mutually exclusive. Is that coming in the aftermath of Chag HaSukkos and being the, you know, the Simcha, you know, counterpart, the Simcha Yisera counterpart to the Ein Bohem Simcha Yisera and to the Yimei Yira V'Fachad, it has a particularly added resonance, because Number one, there's a certain tlius, right? You go out. I was going to speak about the mitzvah and semi diras keva. I don't think we have time for that. We probably have to finish up, but maybe another time. But the point is that Chag HaSukkos, in the aftermath of Yom Kippur, you know, where you feel this kulal Hashem, and you feel, you know, you're not home on Yom Kippur either. You move out of your house already on Yom Kippur, basically. You're supposed to sleep in the shul. I don't know how many people sleep in the shul, but, you know, not go home, stand all day, and then on Chag HaSukkos you leave your house, you know, for 7 days, right? You know, one for the year and the other for the simcha. But instead of looking at them as opposites, or you got through Yom Kippur, now you can let loose, you know, that's of course not the way to look at it. The way to look at it is that the sense of perspective that you were able, you know, to cultivate on Yom Kippur, in the sense of what's important, the sense of reliance on the Rabbono Shel Olam, is the source for the simcha of Sukkah. Or even more to the point, you know, once you have cultivated the year of the Fachar of Yom Kippur and established your credentials that you're capable of expressing Kulal Hashem, then a Simcha Yisera is not a Mephazes or Makarker, is not something that is a concession for an elite person or an intellectual person or a spiritual person to be embarrassed about, but on the contrary, it becomes an appropriate expression, right, given the context, given the background of the Yira and the Fachat. So the Ach, and everything else that goes with it, the treatment of Mikra Kodesh, the need for a separate Parsha, the Simcha She'ena Yisera, and the Simcha Yisera, you know, becomes possible only because of the fact that it's the culmination of all the Regalim, right, each emphasizing and accentuating its particular message, but especially this contrast to an even more important parallel to Yom Kippur. So then indeed, and especially in the Mikdash, the place of Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, you can really let in a more intense way, you know, the great expressions of Simchas Mitzvah, and especially of Simchas Yom Tov. So I want to wish everybody a Gemar Sima Tova, and we should, you know, excel and focus on the Yira and the Fachad, so that then we're able to, in my opinion, that's why we build the sukkah right after Yom Kippur too. I think there's a lot of evidence of that. Was that?
That was 2 years
ago, sure. Oh, good. Okay. I haven't changed my mind. Okay. So I wish you all a good Yantif and good Yom Tov.
Rebbe speaks about how Yom Kippur is a spillover towards the rest of the year. The Yira that one feels, or that sort of nisim that we create, is supposed to spill over to the whole year. That sense makes sense why, therefore, one talks about Simcha on the whole year on Sukkot. If we're seeing them as parallel opposites, and the Yira you put in the whole year that should spill over, then the Simcha is the whole year. That should also
and that's
over.
The most intense one
here. Right. That's that sense.
What's that? Oh, Gvulin just means outside of the Mikdash. It's just an expression. It means even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Well, the question is whether what happened with the lulav, whether what happened was only in the Mikdash itself or also in Yerushalayim. That's a debate. Whether Mikdash, for the purpose of Netilas lulav and certain things about Tkiya Shofar, the Rambam's view is that it extended to Yerushalayim also. No, the status of Mikdash for these things. But Rashi thinks that Mikdash means Mikdash, meaning the base on Mikdash, and it didn't apply to the rest of Yerushalayim. So that's a debate, what we mean. But they call it Bigvulin, is just meaning like an outside of the boundaries of the Mikdash, whatever that means in this context.
I see. Anywhere in the world, and it's not just
yeah.
There.
Okay. In other words, picking the first day, that you take the first day and no other day, the Torah is everywhere outside of Mikdash, whatever Mikdash means here. Whether it means actually proper, narrowly the base of Mikdash, like Rashi, or it means Yerushalayim and the base of Mikdash.
Okay.
It's always good to ask.
One more question.
Sure.
So if you define the lulav is an expression of simcha, so
yeah,
then why does an avel get to do it the same way?
Because an avel on Yom Tov really is allowed to. I was actually going to speak about an avel sitting in the sukkah, because that's also an interesting question. You're not supposed to have avelus on the moed. So expressions of the simcha of the moed override avelus.
So the avel
Well, that's already tricky. That's a mitzvah of lulav for sure. But because a person is in the state of avelos, it's like, you know, how does he...